Very much. Beautiful song. Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 2, if you would, please. Luke chapter 2. And let's dig a little deeper into the text we looked at this morning. Luke chapter 2, if you can find your place, there at verse 25. And when you find it, please stand with me if you're able. Let's stand to honor the Word of God tonight. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the opportunity to gather and to sing your praises and to worship you in song and with music tonight. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus. And help us to learn more about him tonight in your word. Lord, help us just to love you in a greater way. And Lord, as we finish out this year and begin to look toward a new year, Lord, I pray that you would help us to serve you in a greater way than we ever have before, to love you more, to love your word more, and to grow in it, to be greater witnesses for you in our lives, Lord, that our families would be stronger in the faith, and that you would get all the glory, and everything we do would give you glory, and it would further your kingdom. And Lord, we ask that you bless and help now, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Something I want to just dig in a little bit deeper tonight with the text we looked at this morning. And if you missed this morning, you can check that out online on our website, calvarymuldrow.com, and you can get caught up as far as that goes. But you'll notice there's a biblical principle that God wants everything to be established with two or three witnesses. In other words, you don't have somebody come in and say, this is the Christ, the child here is the Christ, and just have that one witness and everybody just go along with it. But God always establishes multiple witnesses. We see that in 2 Corinthians 13:1. Paul said, this is the third time I'm coming to you. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. It was something from the law carried all the way through. It's just what God does. And in Luke chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, when Luke, the physician, introduces the gospel that he would write, that the Holy Spirit would lead him in writing. He said, for as much as I have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. He said there were multiple people who were eyewitnesses of these things, and we are giving you that account that God has given to us, that has come through many eyewitnesses, multiple witnesses to these things. And we see in the Gospel of Luke, the eyewitness account of Mary. Mary, in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28, the angel came in to her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And in verse 38, it says, And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And in verse 46, he says, And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord. And we see that Mary was had the right kind of character. She was highly favored. She was blessed among all women. She was a young woman who was a handmaid unto the Lord. And she said, Be it unto me according to thy word. She was humble and submissive, and she was highly favored. And she magnified God with her life, and she testified that this child, by her actions, by all that she did, she testified, this child came to me through the Holy Spirit of God. Obviously, that was the testimony of Joseph. How do we know that Joseph believed that Jesus was the Christ? Because he didn't put Mary away. He didn't divorce her and then disappear from the pages of Scripture. No, he stayed there. He stayed with her, and he was there when they brought the child to the temple to have him circumcised, when they brought him to the temple and the purification and to redeem him according to the law. All of those things went on. Joseph was right there along with it, and he testified by his actions that this is who the angel told me he is. We see the testimony of Elizabeth in Luke 1, verse 42. And she spake with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women," speaking to Mary. "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" And Elizabeth testified that the child that Mary was carrying was the Lord. And she testified. She had that eyewitness account. Zacharias in Luke 1, verses 68 and 69. You remember when John was finally born, and they said, "What's his name going to be?" And Elizabeth said, "His name's going to be John." They said, No. Nobody in your family's named John. You can't name him John." And they went to Zacharias and asked him, and finally his tongue was loose. For the first time in 9 months, he was able to speak, or more than 9 months, he was able to speak, and he said, "His name is John." And then the Holy Spirit came on Zacharias. He began to preach. He began to prophesy, and he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And he testified that the Savior had come, or was coming. And so over and over we see the shepherds. When they went and found the babe lying in the manger, just like the angels told them, they went abroad and they told everything that the angels told them concerning this child. They went everywhere, saying, "A Savior is born, a Savior is born." And their testimony was that the Christ had come. And over again, in the mouth of two or three or four or five witnesses, Luke says, "Listen, I want you to know that this is the Christ child." And you've got the witness of Mary, and the witness of Joseph, and the witness of Zacharias, and the witness of Elizabeth, and the witness of the shepherds. And then he gives us Simeon, and later we'll see Anna. But he says, "Listen about this man named Simeon. He was a man in Jerusalem, a man you never heard of, and a man you never hear anything about again this side of eternity. A man who just shows up in the pages of Scripture just for a little while, but Luke again is giving us a testimony, an eyewitness account from someone who would come and say, this child is the Christ child. This child is the Savior of the world. Amen. "Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon," verse 25, "And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Now, listen, when a testimony is given, when a witness takes the stand in court, you want to get that person's character, right? Amen. When somebody's on trial and you get witnesses up in the stand, many times they want to establish that person's character. And the lawyers will ask them questions to establish what kind of person they are, what kind of life that they've lived. And if the opposing lawyers want to discredit that person, many times they just simply attack their character. It doesn't really matter what their testimony is going to be concerning this case, but if they're known to be a liar and a cheat, then it doesn't matter what they say on the stand. Nobody's going to believe it anyway. And so Luke sets this man up, and he sets him up as a character witness. He says, "I want you to note the character of this man. He is a just man." And you know what that means? It means that Simeon, by the Holy Spirit of God's declaration, was right with God. Amen. You know how that happened? Because Simeon believed on the Messiah that would come. Amen. Listen, people got saved in the Old Covenant times just like they get saved today. Now, they looked forward to Messiah coming, but we look back to the fact that he did come. But it's still faith in the Christ, the anointed one of God. That's how anybody's ever been saved. Abraham believed God, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. And no one ever got saved by sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats. Nobody ever got saved by keeping the law. Nobody ever did that but Jesus. People always were saved by faith. And Simeon was a just man. He was right with God. And he was a devout man. He was a committed man. He was dedicated to the service of God. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. Maybe that doesn't mean much to you. You've read the book of Acts. You see the Holy Spirit coming on a lot of people and a lot of things like that happening. But you got to understand, in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament economy, it was a special thing for the Holy Ghost to be on someone. God's Holy Spirit wasn't just on everybody. The Holy Spirit of God came on people at specific times for some specific purposes to accomplish a specific task. And the Holy Ghost was on this man, Simeon, because God had told him, it was revealed to him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now I want you to notice back in verse 25, this man was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This word consolation is the idea of comfort. And we won't take the time tonight, but you might write down a note, Isaiah chapter 66. And I encourage you to read Isaiah 66 because he talks about the comfort, the consolation that would come. And Jesus Christ is that consolation. In Isaiah 66, he says, listen, I'm going to comfort you like a mother takes a little child and takes care of that child, nurses that child, and dandles that child on her knees, and comforts that child and loves that child. That's exactly what I'm going to do with you. And I'm going to do it through my Savior, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was waiting for that comfort to come. He was waiting for God to step in. And the Holy Spirit told him that he would not die before he'd seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple. Now, it just simply means the Holy Spirit of God impressed it on his heart, led him there. It doesn't mean that he just transported there like Star Trek or something. He just was led there of the Spirit of God. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. And I told you this morning, can you imagine? I mean, there's thousands of people milling around there outside the temple in the courtyard. All these people are there. And the Holy Spirit of God just sends Simeon and he's got Joseph and Mary coming and he brings them together. And the Holy Spirit of God, we don't know exactly how it happened. It's not here. But somehow, God showed this man, Simeon, when he laid eyes on Jesus, he knew that was him. That's the one. That's the Christ. And what a moment that had to have been for Simeon. Can you imagine? I want you to know that Jesus Christ is the consolation of Israel, but he is the consolation to all who believe. Now, Israel is the Jews. But he's not a Jew who's one outwardly in circumcision or outwardly in the acts of the law. He is one, a Jew who is one inwardly in the circumcision of the heart by faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is our consolation as well. Can you imagine the comfort that he felt that day when he saw Jesus? Can you imagine the joy that filled his heart? Consolation. And then notice the salvation. In verse 30 he said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Listen, when he saw that little baby that Mary was carrying, when he saw that little baby there, he said, I've seen thy salvation. And you imagine that statement, friends? It's just a little baby. He's 40 days old. What kind of salvation is that? He's just a little baby from a poor couple from Nazareth. I mean, of all places, what good thing ever came out of Nazareth? And here they are, this poor little couple with this little bitty baby. And when Simeon sees him and he says, I've seen thy salvation. Well, that little baby was no ordinary baby. That little baby was Christ, the Son of the Highest, the Savior of the world, and the Holy Spirit of God showed him that. And by the way, anyone who ever knows Jesus as the Savior of the world, you know it by the Holy Spirit of God. If you don't have the Spirit of God, you can't deny him, you can't curse his name. If you have the Spirit, that's the only way you can say he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. To know him, it has to come from the Spirit of God. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. In verse 31, he says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now, Simeon, if everybody in the courtyard had heard him that day, they wouldn't have liked what he had to say. The Jews wanted their Savior, the Messiah, to come and save Israel. They want a Messiah to come and wipe out Rome. They want a Messiah to come and set up his kingdom. They want a Messiah to come and make Israel the greatest nation in the world to rule over everyone else. That's what they wanted. Now here he says, I've seen thy salvation that you've made for all people. And the people around that day, they wouldn't have liked that message, but I sure am glad. Verse 32 says, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Listen, the Israelites didn't want light for the Gentiles. They didn't want light for anybody. They wanted light for themselves. The average Israelite didn't care about the rest of them. They only cared about their nation. But listen, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit of God, said, listen, I've seen your salvation. It's for the face of the whole people, of all people, and it's a light for the Gentiles, which we ought not be surprised. Exactly what Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 8 says, that Messiah would be a light to lighten the Gentiles. Jesus Christ came to give light. Jesus, later in his ministry, would say, listen, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And listen, the Gentiles were sin sick, pagans, dark, without hope. But Jesus came to give light to filthy Gentiles like me. Aren't you glad? A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now I told you those that are true Israel is not those that are those Israelites outwardly, but those that are Israelites inwardly in the circumcision of the heart. And Simeon was one of those few. Now here's what I believe. Even by the time of Christ, 2,000 years ago, the remnant of real Israel was very, very small. I'm talking about real believers, those who really trusted in Messiah to come, those who were longing for his coming, those who were worshiping God, those who loved the Lord and knew the Lord and believed the Lord. There were a lot of them that had the word. There were a lot of Pharisees. There were a lot of scribes. There were a lot of all of these different ones who said they believed, and they had this outward profession. They had this religion, but they did not know the Lord, and they weren't really Israel. You understand what I'm saying? The remnant was very small, and Simeon was one of those few. And we get to see just a little bit about him. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I mean, even when the angel came down to Mary and said, the one that you're going to bear is going to be the son of the highest. Even when the angel came to Joseph in a dream, said, don't fear to take Mary to be thy wife, because that which is born of her is born of the Holy Ghost. Even when they knew those things to be true, even when they heard the testimony of the shepherds who came and said, man, you should have seen all the angels who came and praised him. And they said, this is the Son of God. They said, this is the Savior of the world. And they knew all that. Even then, when they heard Simeon that day, they were amazed. They marveled at what Simeon was saying about this little 40-day-old baby. They marveled. So you see the consolation, see the salvation. Look at the proclamation, verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother. Again, he clarifies, Joseph is there, but Mary is his mother. Mary is mother. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Notice the proclamation that he gives. This child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. In Isaiah chapter 8, verses 13 to 15, the Bible says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both the house of Israel, houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken. Get this, listen. Isaiah 8:13, he says, sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary. I don't know about you, but listen to it. Listen, the Lord ought to be your fear. The Lord ought to be your dread. And if you fear him, and if you dread before him, if you tremble before his terrible power, then he will be your sanctuary. Amen. You get it? But for many, he won't be a sanctuary. For many, he will be a stumbling block. This child is set for the fall of many, because Jesus would come and proclaim to be God. He would come and say, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He would say, I and my Father are one. He would read the scriptures prophesying about himself and say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And many would stumble at that. Many would fall at that. Just as the word of God prophesied. Romans 9:33, as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed. And if you believe, he would be there for rising again. But if you don't believe, he would be there for your fall. He would be there for your fall. By the way, this word fall, this Greek word behind the word fall there, it's only used twice in all our Bible. It's used right here, and it's used in one other place. And it's when Jesus finishes the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, if you hear my words and keep them, I want to tell you what you'll be like. You'll be like a wise man that builds your house on a rock. But if you hear these words and you don't obey them, let me tell you what you'll be like. You'll be like a foolish man that builds your house on the sand. And he said, the rains come and the winds blew and the waters rose. And he said, the house of that man fell, and great was the fall of it. That's the kind of fall we're talking about, friends. We're talking about those who would come face to face with Christ, those who would hear his word and reject him, they would fall. He would be a stumbling stone to those. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They're faced with the word of God, they're faced with Jesus Christ, and they don't believe, they don't obey, therefore they fall. Luke chapter 20, verse 17 and 18, Jesus, and he beheld them and said, what is this then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. Listen, Jesus, this small child, Simeon says, this child is set. He's appointed for the fall of many. But praise God, he was also set for the rising again of many. Can you guess what this word rising again means? It means rising again. Almost every other time in the scriptures, it's translated resurrection. And Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. And Simeon said, when he saw that baby, he said, I've seen the salvation of all people. He said, I've seen thy salvation. I've seen a light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. He's set. He's appointed because many will fall because of this child, but many will be resurrected because of this child. Amen. Many will rise again, 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, those who came up against Jesus, who heard his word, and they didn't believe, and they didn't obey, they fall, they stumble, they're broken. But those who come up against Jesus Christ, come face to face with him when they see him and they believe him and they're obedient to the gospel, he gives them eternal life and they're raised up. Made to sit together with him in heavenly places. By the way, did you notice that's in the present tense? It's as good as done, friends. Amen. I'm not really sure how much longer I'm going to live. Maybe some of you know how long you're going to live. I'm not even sure if I'll make it through the rest of this sermon. But I know this. I'm already in heaven with Jesus. It's as good as done, friends. It's done. He saved me. He raised me up. I have life. Life everlasting. This little baby, Simeon, looked at him and said, I've seen your salvation. I've seen light. I've seen your glory. He said, listen, Mary, you need to know this child. He's set. He's appointed. Many are going to fall because of him, but many will be risen again because of this child. And then he says, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. I believe that the meaning is that when Mary saw Jesus suffer, it would be like somebody had thrust her through with a sword. In John 19:25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother. Now, I don't know if you and I can begin to imagine. I think it's an awful thing for any parent to have to bury a child. But you got to understand, friends, Mary knew exactly who Jesus was. Remember, she raised a perfect child. When we started out, I thought we were going to do that too. Mary raised the perfect child. She knew Jesus never sinned. She listen, friends, she nursed him and she cared for him and she took care of him. And even when he was 12 years old, he still was obedient to her and to Joseph. And in all of his life, and then he's around 30 years old, he begins his ministry, gets baptized, he's out there preaching, and you still see Mary there, here and there, throughout the Gospels. I mean, she's watched him grow up. She's watched him live his life. She's seen him do miracles. And she knows he's done nothing wrong. Even if, it doesn't matter, a mother watching their child, and can you imagine? Can you imagine when they brought Jesus out and he had the robe on him and the crown of thorns and the blood was flowing and she was standing out in that crowd when she saw him? Can you imagine? When she was in the throng as the soldiers were whipping him and the others carrying their crosses up to Golgotha, can you imagine what it was like? But she wouldn't turn away. She wouldn't go away. She stood right there while they drove the nails in his hands and his feet and they hoisted him up there. She was right there beside the cross while he hung there. And can you imagine how that pierced her soul? I wonder, in that moment, while she saw Jesus hanging there, if she remembered the words of Simeon. I wonder if she didn't go back and remember what he said. A sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. And even in his agony on the cross, he looked at the crowd and he said, Father, forgive them. Then he looked down at Mary and he said, John, I want you to take care of my mom. The fall and rising again, the sword to her soul. And listen, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. He was alluding to the fact that Jesus would suffer and his suffering would be devastating for Mary. It would hurt Mary. But he also said many hearts are going to be revealed through the suffering of Christ. And we see hearts revealed. Well, Jesus was hanging on the cross. Some wagged their heads and they reviled him. They said, If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross. Others he saved. Let's see if he can save himself if he's the Christ, the Messiah. And they mocked him and they railed on him and they made accusation against him. And their hearts were revealed in the suffering of Christ. They hated him. They hated everything that he said. They hated everything that he did. They hated Jesus. But there were others whose hearts were revealed too because they loved him and their hearts were broken for him and they stood by while he suffered and died and they were there to to take the spices and the ointment to anoint his body as soon as they could. And maybe they didn't understand all that Jesus said that he would suffer. Maybe they didn't really get it until they saw him resurrected. But they loved him. They believed him. And they were there all the way. Their hearts were revealed. And let me tell you something, friends. The same thing is true for us today. Our suffering Savior, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, the preaching of the cross, will reveal men's hearts today. Amen. When you share the gospel with somebody, you will find out what their heart really is. It has an impact on people. It affects people. Amen. Listen, I've shared the gospel with people and they get angry. You know why they're angry? They're not angry with me. They're angry with God. They're angry that he has shined a light on their sin. And others who are broken and humble, who want to be saved, who are desperate to have their sins forgiven, their hearts are revealed. Their humility is revealed when they hear the gospel. They're desperate to receive the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus Christ, his suffering pierced Mary's heart. But it opened up and shined a light. It revealed the hearts of many. This evening, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And while the musicians are coming, I'm going to invite you to stand with me. Maybe not your typical Christmas day evening message, but there's so much depth and richness to the account of Simeon. We don't ever look at. We don't dig into enough. But Simeon was an eyewitness of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent by the Holy Spirit of God, and we have his testimony today to stand as a testimony of a just and a devout man who said, "This child is the Christ." And we see his testimony that not only is he the Christ, he is the Savior, he is the Redeemer, he is the light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. And he is going to suffer and he is going to reveal. He's going to open up men's hearts. So where's your heart tonight? Do you know him? Do you love him? Are you serving him? As we look back on this past year, I hope you'll take stock of where your heart is with Jesus. And as you're confronted with the cross, I hope it'll change us. Do we love the one who came to die for us? Are we living for him? I just want to encourage you tonight to take stock, examine your heart, and if you need to get anything right with Jesus tonight, you come while we sing.
Page 524.